May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 780. We'll sing the first 5 verses for the first hymn and the last for the second hymn. 780. Come, my soul, and let us try, for a little season, every burden to lay by. Come and let us reason, what is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak, and let the worst be known, speaking may relieve thee. 780, the first 5 verses.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, and also reading a few verses in Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians in the fourth chapter. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land shall they possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Myself shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Let us also read, friends, a few verses in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, the first 7 verses. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, O great God Jehovah, the living God, the only true God, O Lord, we seek now to call upon thee, thou knowest. O, we beg of thee, O Holy Father, and we beg, plead in the name of thy dear, well-beloved Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We beg of thee, O Lord our God, that wilt look in mercy upon us now. O, we believe, Lord, we are seeking to continue in prayer, Lord, and with the friends. For, Lord, thou knowest how we've been in prayer already, and friends here have, we trust. And, Lord, we've been in prayer together in the vestry. No, we beg, Lord, for thy help now. We beg for thy presence. We beg for the blessed exercise and leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg of thee, O God our Father, that the wonderful things of thy well-beloved Son may be so given us to this day to know and feel and consider. As indeed in the reading that we've been led to, we trust by thee, Lord, very early this morning. Oh, Lord, as those things are stated by the prophet, and the wonderful opening of the chapter, all of thee, O Lord, thou dear Son of God. Oh, we beg, Lord, that this day thou wilt so favour us here, we may know that wonderful favour, have an interest in thy great salvation. Oh, we gathered here a number of precious souls. Oh, may we, Lord, truly come with a burden and feeling exercise. For their good, Lord, we trust we do, by thy grace, by thy exercising us, by thy laying upon us, Lord, a continual burden for souls. And as we come among the friends here again, and know as we come with that burden, oh, that thou wouldst do them good. We've heard our brother pray, quoting the words, Lord, so applicable, so much we need to beg in that way. Do good unto Zion. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build there the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, we do we trust by thy exercise. Truly carry this exercise for the friends here, that they would do good among them, Lord, by the Holy Spirit's witness. Oh, by the Holy Spirit's witness, may it be witnessed by precious souls that thou art working, doing good, doing thy will. Oh, thou knowest in that dialogue we've been singing, Lord, oh, those many important things of exercise and expression and express need of thy appearing, Lord, of thy working, the need of the Holy Spirit, oh, to come and testify of Christ the Lamb. Oh, we beg for this day. So, Lord, we come with our solemn confessions, Lord. Oh, thou knowest those who are captive. Oh, thou knowest those who are poor, those that are meek, made meek by thee, and what thou hast in thy purpose to yet do for them. Thou knowest those that are hard, those that are cold. Thou knowest how we are, so changeable, each of us. Oh, thou knowest what we need, Lord. We beg according to the need that thou dost perfectly know, Lord, regarding each one. Thou wilt do good in thy good pleasure. Oh, that thou wilt bless souls and get to thyself all the honour and glory due unto thee. We are gathered for worship of our great God. We pray thou wilt tune our hearts for worship. May there be that favour, Lord, of the holy sacred feeling of the wonderful love of God. Do shed thy love, Lord, abroad in many a heart. Oh, may that holy power, that holy heat, of the love of God be known and felt. And that holy heat which will, under that great power of it, set ourselves on fire to love thee in return. And the Lord, oh, even it may be wonderfully felt and known in precious souls that there is that love kindled in them by the Holy Spirit, where they love thee, Lord, in the want of thee. We especially pray in those that are young in the way, not that we would just acknowledge the young, Lord, and for in and for this. Oh, we know that even older friends can be young in the way. But, Lord, there now is the cases. And oh, we beg thou wilt shoot thy blessing to each case, and so that any that are young in the way might be favoured, blessedly favoured, with that holy, sacred favour, feeling love to thee in the want of thee, in the need of thee. And oh, how true it is in all souls that are have been established in the faith when they are in a sad state through wandering, through backsliding, through slipping or falling. And how thou dost hide thy face. Thou dost hide thy face, Lord, and we are troubled. But oh, what a mercy, we are troubled. But Lord, oh, we do beg to be brought out of such trouble. Thou wilt revive us, thou wilt, O Lord, that thou wilt heal us, thou wilt restore us. Oh, thou knowest the cases in us in these ways they are in exercise. And as, Lord, in the dialogue that has been sung, and what we anticipate further singing, O Lord, thou knowest, we do seek of thee, we beg of thee, thou wilt come and be the master of assemblies here this day, and may we truly be gathered unto thee, Lord. Thou art the King in Zion. Oh, the Lord's anointed. Oh, may we have it so well enough in us, like one wrote, oh, to the Lord's anointed, to David's greatest son, who in the day appointed his reign on earth begun. He came to break oppression, to set the captives free, to take away transgression and rule iniquity. We beg, Lord, we may be so blessed this day to feel the great favour to be under thy holy rule. Oh, to be under thy sovereign care. Oh, and the sovereign grace may be all our song. Lord, we do beg, do come then. We beg thee, come and help us. Oh, do come and do us good. And in that way, Lord, we believe. We trust we have been a witness of it in past days, and we know from an inexperience, the experience of thy favour, thy wonderful blessing, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. And so we pray for each soul gathered, that they would so do them good. Oh, bless them, Lord. And oh, we pray for many we think of our friends and in our families and in our friendship, Lord, in thy Zion, Lord, our beloved denomination. There are many of our friends we think of and pray for, Lord. And all the little hills of Zion we know and love and think of at this time on the Sabbath morning, gathering in thy name. And some, Lord, having the afternoon service following on, and some the evening service. But, Lord, thou knowest, oh, where thy people meet. And, oh, Lord, as we are too aware throughout the earth, though we know not thy people in other lands, and, oh, Lord, how great burden is at this time, especially for those under persecution. Who knoweth, oh, we've been deeply touched by what we received from our friend here yesterday. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the awful, terrible situation that some of those that profess thy name are in. Though if they be truly thy dear people, we know it will be well with them, whatever comes. We think of those words of thine own words, Lord. Fear not them that kill the body, and after that they have no more they can do. What a wonderful fact that is for thy people. Oh, they cannot prevent them from being in glory forever and ever. But oh, what terribleness they are having to face. And oh, we beg, Lord, they may be, by thy grace, enabled to be faithful unto death, if this is their lot. Thou knowest. And oh, especially little ones in those situations. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we would be careful to nor bring before thee in public prayer these things. Thou knowest our heart and our secret crying over these things. O Lord, appear. Thou wilt be with thy people, we are sure, we are confident. Thou wilt save them and take them home to glory. And so, Lord, we would especially be thankful for all our privileges, Lord. Why are we favoured? Why is Britain spared? Lord, thou knowest. Oh, it's all thy will, and we bow to thy will, and we praise thee, we thank thee. Oh, make us each, Lord, to be so abundantly thankful for the privileges we enjoy, and Lord, help us. Enable us to use them aright. But oh, help us to remember those that are so much in affliction and terrible things thou hast so ordered in their lives, Lord, not by chance, but thou art never the author of evil and sin. And Lord, we believe thou wilt so be with thy people in whatever state and circumstance they're in. We bring our begging, Lord, and prayer in this way, believing thou wilt so be with thy people. Oh, we think of that that's testified, revealed in that wonderful revelation of John. Those home in glory, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We believe this shall be the witness of the whole Church of God in glory forever. And so, Lord, we live, believing our God, trusting our God. So give faith in lively exercise today, Lord. Increase a little faith and raise it to a flame in that sense, figurative sense of it, Lord. May the reality of the favour of faith indwelling, vital living faith, Lord. Oh, may this be wonderfully known today in our hearts and souls. Bless the friends. Bless them, do them good, Lord. We beg with the pardon of our every sin for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 780, commencing at the 6th verse. Faith, when void of works, is dead. This the Scriptures witness. And what works have I to plead, who am all unfitness? All my powers are depraved, blind, perverse, and filthy. If from death I'm fully saved, why am I not healthy? 780, commencing at verse 6.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the chapter that we read, the first chapter we read, Isaiah chapter 61, and the first verse. This verse was so alive in my heart as I woke this morning. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. As we read, friends, in the second portion we read, I trust I come before you this morning. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I believe as your deacons are careful, engaging ministers for you, that's how it is from this pulpit. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And so particularly this morning I want to direct you, and as I need much help, I discern, beg the Lord for help to consider this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. We must acknowledge this is Christ, the Son of God. This is prophecy concerning Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord's anointed, David's greater son. And so how is it that Christ, the Son of God, is so speaking here? The Holy Spirit gave the prophet these words to speak, to record. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. The Son of God, the Lord's anointed. And as I quoted in prayer, Montgomery wrote, David's greater son, the Son of God. How is it that the Son of God is God's anointed? He's anointed of the Father. So to be king in Zion, captain of salvation, the dear Saviour, the dear Redeemer, the one upon whom all God's people's hopes of heaven depend, the Spirit of the Lord God. This first part of this, the Spirit of the Lord God. It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And you know, every servant of God, if they are led an exercise of the Spirit, it must be under this anointing to so preach Christ crucified. Oh, I think of the words of the Apostle. He says, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness, and unto you which believe Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now to go on this morning, art thou, poor soul, one who God has brought by his grace to be a believer in Christ? Oh, not just to believe it as you read it on the sacred page, to believe in him. How does God bring his people to be true believers in Christ? He brings them to know very much of what you've been singing. He knows those things of such dialogue, of soul feeling, soul exercise, soul trouble. Oh God, God so works in those he has set his love upon. The time appointed comes when each one shall be brought to know, seriously to know and consider their state and condition. God reveals to them, convicts them, convinces them of their horrible, lost, ruined state. First he quickens them into life. He then goes on to deal with them and convicts and convinces them of their sin. Oh, art thou one who needs the Saviour, who needs salvation? Oh, art thou one who is made a mourner over your sins and after Christ? Oh, you, each one, you and I, personally, we stand before God. We're here this morning, but God sees us through and through, remember. He knows everything about us. You can't hide any of your sins from him. You can't hide anything from him. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to solemnly state these things, to bring these things before poor sinners. Because we carry, as Christ, the Son of God, in perfect love, holy perfect love, and every one of the dear people of God that God had chosen our time began laid upon him, their names upon his breast when he came to come to suffer, bleed and die for them. But friends, this is the important vital question. May we each be brought to be really truly concerned to ask it. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. You see, you'll know about your crimes. And not just know about them, you'll feel the seriousness of them, the awfulness of them. Your crimes of guilt and sin before God. Oh, you'll be burdened over them if God's teaching you. You won't be just living your life in a way, thinking you're all right. Thinking that if you do the things that are rightly ordered and expected of you, and what God in a natural way, according to what is said in example in the word, if you just follow the people of God and live a life like the people of God do, or try to live such a life, you might think you're all right. Go into chapel, keep in the Lord's day, reading the word of God. You may think you're all right in that sense. There's nothing to worry about. But let me be very clear. That won't save any one of us, friends. That in itself, good and wonderfully good as it is to read the word of God, that in itself won't save us. What you need, what I need, is to know our interest in the Saviour's blood. You notice how that dialogue went on and come to that point, and so mentioning, sacredly acknowledging the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the shedding of his holy blood, that only one way of atonement for sin. Oh, that way of salvation, in that Christ has done, how he suffered, bled and died. That's what each one of us need by grace to know our interest in. And so, oh, we trust as the Spirit in the full, complete measure, the Spirit of the Lord God, that meant the holy, perfect unity of the Spirit of the Godhead, was upon Christ when he came to the earth, was fully in him, wholly in him and of him, and in perfect mutual love, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, to save our souls, are all concerned if we're God's people. And so Christ came. This prophecy is so wonderful. It's all concerning Christ. And as you read on, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, I believe that means all the time, not just a year, But all the time that Christ was here on earth, this was what was prophesied. As he would come to this earth, be found in fashion as a man, humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This was what was so wonderful to Old Testament saints. They looked forward to the coming of Christ. Oh, and the Spirit of the Lord God was upon Isaiah to so set forth these things regarding Christ's coming, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and also the day of vengeance of our God, when God would so take vengeance on all those that are left to live their lives and die out of Christ, out of Christ's almighty power, can do nothing much but devour, but vengeance on the adversary, the enemy of souls, to save God's people. Oh, God gives the grace for his people to be in exercise in the battle and to be in conflict and gain the victory through him that loved them and gave himself for them. Oh, Satan has to have a deadly wound. And the Lord does so give his people to wage war on Satan. There's so much in the context, friends, but we won't go on in that way yet in the word. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And in the highest sense, it's upon Christ that he should come. And he has come. And he has done all things well for the Church of God. A friend yesterday mentioned to me, as we were down in Sussex preaching, friend mentioned, he hath done all things well. Wonderful when we're brought into that favour of knowing it, feeling it, and witnessing it, and testifying it. But oh, it's known, it's brought to be given us to witness it through experience. Oh, friends, I am aware of each one of you travelling along in your journey of life. You have experiences. That is, if you are a child of God, the Lord has appointed you to have a pathway, to have an experience. And there are many things, and there are many things like we've been singing, that oh, is such so many opposites, so many changes, so many things to harass and perplex and dismay the child of God. But the real favour of it, underlining everything, is that the exercise the child of God is in is by the Spirit of God. First being made concerned, made to need to pray and beg for help in time of trouble. There's a time of trouble comes upon and into each one of God's people's lives. Soul trouble and conflict and tribulation is our lot. Yes, tribulation is our lot. Earth is a polluted spot where a million evils dwell, all in league with death and hell. But, oh, we've got a dear Lord and Saviour. Oh, we look to him. We look away from self to Jesus Christ. Out of self we pray to the dear Holy Spirit. This dear Holy Spirit gives us prayer. Out of self to Jesus lead. Forward in us into seed. Guide us down to death and there banish all our guilt and fear. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And because the Lord hath anointed me, and each servant of God in their very low level compared to Christ, we are nothing compared to him. But God does anoint us for the work of the ministry. Oh, he does, he has done. And he gives us a ministry. Paul says, see, we have this ministry. we faint not, and having received mercy, we faint not. Renounce all the hidden things of dishonesty, and not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But oh, what is it? It's preaching Christ. I think of the sermon we heard, a special service. I won't go into details. The late dear friend, the Lord's servant, Mr. Wood, preached the word. On another occasion, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That's our calling, friends. And I believe if the Spirit so uses it, the preaching of the gospel will be very precious and very blessed to the dear child of God who is in soul trouble. Oh, the antidote for death is all concerning Christ and what he has done. Die and clasp Christ in our arms, the antidote of death. And yes, we do have to die to all hope in ourselves. We have to know what it is to be, as Paul says, I die daily. We have to know it. But oh, how wonderful it is that this wonderful, blessed Spirit of our Lord, the blessed Spirit of our Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Oh, can you trace this? Thinking of the, I believe, the dear Spirit's with us in the union and the witness of the Spirit, in the theme of what we've been singing in that sacred dialogue. You know, all that we have to know in the solemn teachings of the Spirit is in God's perfect will to make his people meet. It is to make his people meet, to humble them, to soften them, to break them down. The meek. You think of the meek, especially they are defenseless in themselves. And they need God to do everything for them. Good tidings to the meek. The meek, they have no inward strength of their own. They have no ability to resist. They are so unable to do anything for themselves. And they are, in a sense, harmless to others. You know, if you've been well broken down by God, deeply humbled under grace, you won't hurt another soul. You will be meek. You are already blessed if you are meek. God's humbled you, he's quietened you. He's brought you down. Meek souls. Precious favour to be made meek. But you feel helpless. You feel unable to achieve anything or do anything for yourself. But oh, these good tidings. Unto the meek are preached by Christ. Christ preached them perfectly. He gives to his servants to preach him and preach as he preached, but so short we come. But oh, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Yes, it's all regarding what Jesus Christ has done. If you were really made meek and made poor, as we find it in other places recorded and further on here, the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know, poor sinners, rejected with fear. This is what you must do. God will help you to do it. Unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. You know, oh, you will so be blessed as you are given the favour of exercising some measure of faith given to look away from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's another angle of it. Elderly, having all the blessings of God, God in Christ. But oh, good tidings to the meek. You that can't do anything for yourself, you are so vulnerable as Satan's against you. Oh, he can so come so much to harass and perplex you. You're so meek you can't resist him. But oh, God gives you grace. God gives you faith. You look away from yourself to Jesus Christ. He is so precious to you. Oh, good tidings. What are the good tidings? The Son of God is that one who's come to conquer sin and death and hell. Oh, he has come and vanquished death, brought immortality to light by the gospel, the wonderful prospect of glory, glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. These souls never hope at all outside of the gospel. They've got no hope, no help. But oh, these good tidings, everything is provided for them. Oh, think of Abraham, how he was, how he was by faith. God will provide himself a lamb. God has sent his dear Son to come to the earth to suffer the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. Good tidings. Preach good tidings to the meek. This is not for high-minded souls, this is not for self-sufficient souls. This is not for those who carry self-importance or self-esteem. This is not for the self-righteous. This is for the meek. This is so the important thing to know of God's favour, if God really is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, he will be doing this in you, bringing you down, breaking you down. You think of how it is with the land. In the ways farmers use techniques today, they don't so much pull up the great clods like they used to. But oh, how, as we have known in past times, the great hard clods are pulled up and are so hard. I say we are by nature. Oh, but what God must do is break us down. Now, if you look carefully at the reality of what you're experiencing, friends, consider it carefully as we may lead you, as God helps us to, you to consider. You may be feeling to have to say, well, I'm not meek, I'm not, I'm hard, I'm cold. This may be a trouble to you. Wonderful if it's a trouble to you. It would be solemnly serious if it wasn't a trouble to you. If you was hard and cold and not meek and you were not concerned about it. If God's making you concerned about it, I believe there's evidence that he will break you down. And some of you know what it is to be broken down. As we have further on, the broken hearted. Oh, God will break his people down. He will break his people down, broken by the Lord's loud thunder. One of the hymn writer states, God's people will be. God will break you down. The Lord breaks. God's a breaker. He goes forth as a breaker. He does, and he breaks hard hearts down He breaks our schemes of earthly joy, that we may seek our all in him. The breaker's gone forth with a shout, to break our schemes of earthly joy, that we may seek our all in him. There's God doing this, in love to you. See, some of you older ones, some of you younger ones, whatever state or case you are, God knows what's needed. And if he loves you, he will do it. He will not leave you in the state you are in by nature. He will deal with you and deal in love and mercy with you. Have you got evidence of this? Oh, to make thee me. Oh, hell. God makes his people me. Yes, he must do. And it's these meek characters that will really be so blessed when they receive by precious faith this wonderful preaching of good tidings, and it does them good. The good tidings that everything that they know, their troubles of heart and guilt of sin and ruined state and affliction of the work of Satan so much coming against them, the wickedness of their hearts, their lusts and their pride, that they're now very concerned about, these wonderful gospel, wonderful good tidings. Christ, you see, what is so much a trouble to these that are made with me? They've broken God's law. They've broken God's Ten Commands. They've offended God. God, a holy, holy God. It'll bring you to be convicted, convinced that you've broken all God's Ten Commands. And oh, how you are broken. You're brokenhearted. I want to go a little into that now for few moments to consider. Bind up the brokenhearted. See, you're brokenhearted, and what we've said regarding how the Lord breaks us all down. Friends, considering it more closely regarding being made brokenhearted, I believe it's this more particularly this. The Lord has break. God's a breaker in using his law. But oh, the gospel, if you have had, when God first raises to a soul to a hope and blesses them to begin to believe in Christ, and he is made so precious, and then you are shown by the Holy Spirit more of your depravity of your heart, and now your sins are against God. Coming closer, God bringing you closer, to more closely, more solemnly know your sins are against, because you have been raised to a hope, and Christ is precious. Now you know your sins to be against his love and blood. That's what will bring you to be really brokenhearted. Nothing makes a soul more brokenhearted than a deep, solemn sense of sinning against the love and blood of Christ. But he has sent him. He has come. The dear Lord has come. And he sends his servants with the message that he's come. That they should preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. No minister can in himself or of himself bind up the brokenhearted, but when he preaches Christ crucified, when he preaches Christ, and he has done all things well for the church, he shed his holy blood, even when a soul is so built to be so broken-hearted, feeling that their sins against the love and blood of Christ, yet They must be so drawn by God's love, by Christ's love again, to look away from themselves to Christ. And he says, I die that thou mayest live. Yes, the wonderful preaching of these good tidings. You see, the Lord, all the sins of his people he's atoned for, his holy blood has atoned for. And the wonderful thing is that the Father is well pleased with the sacrifice of Christ. And so his people, because it's God's anointed, his dear anointed Son that has suffered, bled and died, shed his holy blood, the blood of God for sinners, for atonement of all the sins of the whole church. God binds up the brokenhearted as he gives them, as he renews them, as he comes again, as he blesses them with confirmation perhaps of what they have known in past experience, when he shows them himself, when he shows them his hands and his side, when he, as he did to Thomas, says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and put it in the front of the nails. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And oh then, under the power of the Holy Spirit, remember Christ was full of the Holy Ghost, ever he was full of the Holy Ghost. And oh, now in time, the favour of God is known by the witness of the Spirit. The wonderful favour. God, these tidings, these wonderful tidings, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, the Holy Spirit, testifying of Christ through the means of the ministry of the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted. Do you need binding up, poor soul? Oh, have you got sore wounds of sin? Have you got a sore heart? A broken heart? A sore heart? A pained heart? Over your sins? Are you made a mourner? Over your sins and after Christ? Well, the gospel, these wonderful tidings of the gospel, got everything in there's everything in the tidings of the gospel for you. Oh, Christ has come, and his perfect ministry he has preached, but all what he has preached has been related to what he came to do and what he has accomplished, what he accomplished at Calvary. And now as he's in heaven, interceding for the church here on earth, his servants come with these good tidings to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. As sin is so solemn and makes us to know under new and fresh and solemn conviction, as the Spirit works, revealing it, convicting, convincing us of it, brings us into captivity. We be in captivity the duration of time God's in his perfect wisdom appointed. Some of you may be in captivity long, but God's got a purpose to release the captives. You know, he had a purpose to release those that were taken away captive to Babylon. They had to stay there those 70 years. But the time appointed by God came. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is, there's a time appointed for God to release his prisoners. We know the word speaks of it wonderfully in the way it is set forth regarding the Jubilee. That time appointed when the prisoners must be released, shall be released, captives shall be set free, debt shall be forgiven, and debtors released. Oh, a favour. What a favour. What a favour to be brought to be able to sing, a debtor to mercy I am. Oh, and to sing of free grace, the wonderful free favour of God. Good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Yes, there's a way of liberty. The way of liberty is found. The Son shall set you free. If the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Are you longing for it? Are you begging for it? Are you in earnest exercise for freedom? To be set free, poor soul, prisoners of hope, to Jesus turn. He's a stronghold ordained for thee. Gird up thy loins and cease to mourn, and to the Lamb, to the Lamb, thy way pursue. Yes, to Calvary, to see that scene of matchless grace, Jesus, in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might revere his name, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Notice how it's penned, how it's put down in Scripture. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The very reality of it in God's will is that God knows there will be captives. He knows each case. He knows each one's need. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. What sorrows by their souls are born and ever sin they daily mourn. Thy experience, friends, thy daily life, thy pilgrimage, is it like this? You say, well, we have to admit it's not always daily. But you know God will make it to be daily when he's bringing you along toward the time when he's going to set you free. Oh, you're being exercised. You long to be set free. You are a prisoner of hope. Wonderful, you've got hope. You're not in despair. You're not in that total hopeless state. You know the throne of grace. The God who answers prayer helps you when you seek his face. To proclaim liberty, to proclaim him. It's on a particular special day appointed. There's a day appointed. Oh, an appointed day. For thy release, poor soul. Do you believe it? Are you looking forward toward it? Are you hoping for it? May it soon come. Is this your exercise? Oh, to proclaim it. There is a day, there's an appointed hour. And that appointed hour shall come. He that will come shall come. He shall come to thee. He shall come in mercy. He shall come and draw near to thee and do thee good. Think of those characters. They were in affliction. Jesus, the Son of God, passed by. One cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Wonderful time, wasn't it? The time appointed when he was going to be healed by Christ, the miracle, the great miracle Christ had before the world, agreed in covenant with God, the Father and the Blessed Spirit, that he would so bless that soul. All appointed. It's all appointed for thee, poor soul, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Wait on him, poor soul. Wait thou only upon God. My expectation is from him. Oh, may God give us that gracious expectation, that waiting upon him, that looking unto him, that relying upon him, that favour to be daily casting our care upon him. That favour of believing, faith granted in exercise, the favour of God increasing our little faith, raising it to a flame that we may be in real true favour of believing, expecting mercy every hour under God's grace. proclaim liberty. That day must come, it's in God's will, to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The opening of the prison. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Prisoners of hope. They've been hoping, they've been waiting upon God, they've been in prayer, they are longing for release. And oh, God has that purpose to release sinners from guilt, to set them free. Oh, I beg the Lord that as we preach these things to you this morning, you might so feel in longing desire and favour to believe that the Lord will bring you, he will set you free. He will set you a gospel liberty. You know, we were down with a friend at Gaines Hill last Lord's Day and preached to them there from the words of the Apostle, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage." What a wonderful thing it was. And the dear Apostle was favoured to know and witness and believe that those dear people had been set free, those dear Galatians. He was troubled because of how he detected there were some that were going back into legal things and in legal bondage. But oh, he says, stand fast. But what is it? What is it to be set free, friends? When Christ makes his people free, what is it that he does for them? Well, he does everything for them. Their guilt is gone, is put away. Sin is blotted out. But what is the favour of that experience? As the child of God goes on and is exhorted by the apostle to stand fast in that liberty. And they can only stand fast in it by the grace of God. And so they are in much need to be praying for grace. To be seeking the Lord for those graces. Like we sang here in the church meeting, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. You know, oh, this is a great favour. Are you longing for liberty, true liberty of the gospel? Are you seeking it? Are you praying for it? Paul gives witness of those who have been made free. What was it? We have been blessed with free grace to every sinner, and if free grace were not for me, and their sins have been put away, they were gone, they were liberated from the guilt of sin and the bondage of sin and the condemnation of sin, set free. But as they went on in their journey, he says, stand fast. Now I hope as I bring this before you, it will give you to feel such a longing to be set free and to be looking for this, begging for this, right? This great favour. You know, those that he was speaking to, he knew they were still in possession, solemn possession, within them of indwelling sin. But by the grace of God, they were now not living under the dominion of sin. That's the difference. That's the difference, friends. Can you see this? Can you give witness to this in your soul? You look back, you trust God forgave you all your sins. You knew that favour. But now you're so troubled because you've got so much sin. But you're not actually, if God give you light and understanding, if you know that liberty, you have known that liberty, and that liberty, that time of liberty can never be lost. But friends, the way I believe God will give you understanding, if you go to John's first epistle, it's set forth so clearly there. God's people are not under the dominion of sin after being set at God's full liberty. But they are very troubled about their sins, very burdened, and they need a fresh application of the precious blood of Christ to their hearts and consciences. to bring them again into this wonderful liberty. He will set at liberty, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is what we look for and pray for, friends, and want to know personally and want to see and witness among our friends in the Church of God. Oh, may the Lord give us meditation before we come up this evening, friends. Be with you each and bless you. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £655, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 756. Exceeding precious is my Lord, His love divinely free, and His dear name does health afford to sickly souls like me. 756.
Thank you.
deeply humbled with the witness of the Spirit in that last hymn. O Lord, truly thou art in this place. Oh, we beg, help us to worship thee more and more. Forgive anything that was seen amiss, Lord. Bless thy word. Bless thy people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.